Topic for today is alternative medicine in halacha. It's obviously a very, very broad topic. Given the current reality that the medical world doesn't really understand how to deal with the coronavirus, so unfortunately in some countries, there are people who are taking advantage of the situation, offering all types of alternative medical suggestions to help people, heal people. And I read in Iran, there were hundreds of people who were poisoned by some person who was offering some type of healing. So the question becomes, again, it's a general question, what is the place of alternative medicine within halacha, or within the medical world, for that matter? But here, of course, we're going to focus on the halacha ramifications. And this is especially prevalent when the conventional medicine doesn't have, answers. So, of course, we're davening that scientists and doctors will find some type of treatment, vaccines, etc. But for the moment, that's not the case. So I want to begin just with a general introduction about medicine in general. The Gemara of Talmud of Pehei and Aleph speaks about the fact that the Rishus was nitan l'rofe l'rapus. A doctor is allowed to heal. Of course, we shouldn't debate what the chiddush of this is. Why would I think a doctor wouldn't allow it to heal? And it could be a certain understanding of, Shkaka Pratis would look at the ailment as a punishment, and therefore the doctor is somehow going against Ratzon Hashem by healing the patient. So, no, Yish Rishus L'Rofe L'Rapos. Others view this as a heter for mamonos, that a doctor is allowed to get paid, even though he's doing a mitzvah. Generally, for mitzvahs, we don't take money. But there's a rishus for rofe l'rapos, or maybe it's a rishus that even if he does his best, so he's not going to be liable. If he tried to heal the patient, then he actually hurts the patient. Sometimes that happens. So he's, good Samaritan law, mikan shenote, nitan rishus, l'rofe l'rapos, he's trying to heal. But of course, it's not only a rishus, there's an obligation upon the doctor to try to heal the patient. And the Rambam Perek Mishnayos in the Darim, Perek Dalet Mishnah Dalet, points this out. Shechayev harofe min hadin l'rafos choli Yisrael b'harei b'chal omram b'feirush ha'kosu b'ashigosu lo rabos gufo. There's a din of hashavas aveda. It's like you're obligated to return somebody's lost wallet. So too, if they lost their health, they're sick, you have an obligation, if you have knowledge, to try to heal them. You have knowledge how to heal this patient, so you should share that knowledge. You have an obligation to share that knowledge in order to heal the patient. Now, the Shacharach passes this in Yeradeya Simon Shin Lamavav. Not only is there a mitzvah, but if he decides not to, he's murdering effectively patient, even though he didn't cause the illness, but if he has the ability to heal and he doesn't choose to heal, it's as if he's murdering the patient. If this person has the ability to provide a healing and he doesn't, so he is liable because not everybody can be healed from everybody. The Shulchan Aruch warns you shouldn't be involved in healing unless you know what you're doing. If there's a better doctor, let the better doctor deal with the patient. This famous statement in Chazal, which is hard for us to understand, we view the doctors as angels, trying to help people, especially during these times where they're really risking their own lives to help others. And yet Chazals have such harsh words for doctors. So some understand that's referring to a doctor who's very haughty, who thinks he knows everything, isn't willing to check and ask colleagues, and he might end up hurting the patient just because he's not willing to seek advice from other colleagues and the like. So in the end of the day, we have a mitzvah there's a rishos for the rofe l'rapos, so a mitzvah, a chiyuv. We haven't discussed yet the obligation of the patient to seek medical advice, but the Rambam, based on Chazal, assumes that there is such an obligation. The Rambam Perek Dalet Hilchos Deos, a person has to act with a healthy lifestyle, to eat healthy foods, exercise. You have to act in a way that's going to keep you healthy. And therefore, if a person is sick, obviously, al pi din, he's obligated to go seek medical advice. There were some Rishonim who weren't so excited about this on a theoretical level, at least the Ramban, the famous Ramban, Vayikra Chafav, Pasuk Yud Aleph, where the Ramban writes, Valdorish Hashem, Binavi, Lo Yidrosh Barofi. A person is, you know, on such a high level, they can communicate to God through a Navi, or they themselves are a Navi. They don't need a doctor. They'll have direct healing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ni Hashem Rofecha. Why would a doctor be in a home of a person who serves God? Take the psukim literally. So Hashem is a rofikal basar, so you don't need the doctor. The Ramban itself says this is only for people who are on that very high level, and obviously nobody today would be considered upon that level. But there is a debate, you know, many Rishonim disagreed with this. The Ramban writes that, you know, if a person is hungry, he doesn't daven, he doesn't go to a navi, he eats. So if a person is ill, he should go to a doctor. That's why Hashem created the world. It's not a chisaron in our amun. It's not a chisaron of our, you know, levels of ruchnias. Even if we're on the highest level of ruchnias, if you're hungry, you eat. If you're sick, you should go to a doctor. That's a mainstream approach. There isn't the Ramban. I once heard from Luchnasin, he said, Shem Chaim, I think if I heard from the Rav, Shem Chaim, that Chaim was so disturbed by this Ramban, he said it was a Tov Sofer. But it's obviously a chiddush, the Ksav Yad have it. So I think it tells us more about what Reb Chaim thought about this than what the Ramban thought. The Ramban seems to have believed that a person's on a very, very high level. He shouldn't go to a doctor. The Ramban, like I said, disagrees. And our approach, the halacha, of course, is that we think that we have an obligation to get the best medical medical care that you can. The question of alternative medicine is whether or not a person can and should go to alternative practitioners who are offering, you know, some types of healing that is not accepted by the conventional medical establishment. And here, there's a big debate about how to look at this. The Mishnah in Yuma on Daf Pei Gimel on Aleph speaks about seems to be a form of alternative medicine that involved in violating Isser. We know that the Chai Behem, the Lesh Yomas Behem, that the person is obligated to save their life by violating all mitzvos, except for the three cardinal sins of Shemich Osam, Gil Rais, and Avodah Zarah. So if a person has to take a non-kosher medicine, ingest non-kosher medicine to save their life. So it's a mitzvah. The Mishnah there in Pei Gimel of Aleph discusses Mishanoshcha Kelev Shote. So there was some understanding that by eating from the liver of the rabid dog, so that would heal you. So the Tanakhama says it's usher. Apparently that form of medicine was, or that form of treatment was not accepted. And therefore it's usher. And you can't find an isser to do something that you don't think is going to help. Ramasya ben Charish Matir. So the Rambam brings down in the Perish Mishnayos that the halacha is not like Ramasya ben Charish. Ramasya ben Charish says you can eat the liver of the dog. Ein halacha Ramasya ben Charish hitu l'achil adam yom tom kippur yoser esakavich al kelev shote inoshach. Yiptesha ein amoil ela b'derech skula. This is a skula. This is not a proven medicine. It was pointed out some of the good articles written on this topic. So one of the articles I read, I forget which at the moment, they made a point that the comparison between alternative medicine and refuah skulis, as opposed to conventional and refuah beduka, isn't the perfect parallel, because we have in the conventional medical world types of medicines that work that we don't really understand how they work, but we're convinced that they work. There's a double blind, you know, study, and every time it always works. So that would be in halacha still be considered skulis, because you don't understand how it works. But in the medical world, that's conventional. That's not an alternative, because, you know, there's studies that prove without a shadow of a doubt that these medicines work. So the parallel isn't perfect, but we're going to work with it, you know, for now. That the Ram here says that you're not allowed to eat the liver of the rabid dog, because that's a refuah skulis. And you can't violate an isser to do a refuah skulis. That's to be logical, you have to understand it, and you have to have a nisayon. There are two separate points here. One is that we understand it, the second one is that it is proven, you know, statistically, there's nisayon that it works. But the Rihu has beskulos law. You can't rely on skulos. They're not logical. Also based on experience, it doesn't always work. This is an important principle. So the Rambam tells us here in the Pesach Tais and Yuma in the Fei Gimel that a person is not allowed to violate an iser to do a refuah skulis. Doesn't sound like there's any iser inherently with a refuah skulis, at least from this source. But the refuah skulis wouldn't be allowed to be performed if it violated an iser toch kedei. Here you're eating a non-kosher food, you're eating from a dog. Therefore, even though there are some alternative practitioners who will tell you that eating this liver from the rabid dog is going to cure you from rabies, you shouldn't do so. Likewise, the Mishnah in the Shabbos of Samach Zayin and Aleph, we have a discussion in Hilchos Hotzah b'Shabbos, and Shabbos, of course, you can't carry outside your home unless there's an Eruv. And the Mishnah discusses people who would walk outside with like a necklace with all sorts of kameas, some type of protection. So the Mishnah says, Yotzin bebeitzas chargol, v'shein shul, v'masmer atzolof, v'shum refua. So they believe that if you would have a tooth of a shul, of a fox, or these other things, masmer atzolof, beitzas chargol, these things would somehow cure you. The divrei Meir. Chaim say it's usher even in the weekdays. It's not a question of Hotzah and Shabbos. It's a question of following Darchei Amori. This is the refuahs of the Amorim, and this is not a proven, you know, refuah. It seems to be connected somehow to Avodah Zarah or to Chukos Akum. Therefore, you shouldn't do it, even during the weekdays. That's what Chachamim hold. You know, all things being equal, usually we have a chalukas between the Yachin and Rabim. Here, Rav Meir and Chachamim, we would pass them like the Rabim. But the Gemara tells us there in Tzavzayin Amar Aleph and Shabbos, Sabayev Rav Amar Tavayu, Kol Davar Sheyesh Bo Mishum Refua, Ein Bo Mishum Darchei Amori. So if you're doing something for medicinal purposes, you don't have to be concerned that it comes from Avodah Zarah or that's connected to the Chukos Akum, because you're doing it for the purpose of Refua. So it seems like from this discussion that, you know, if you're going to do an Isser, that would be a question. Can you eat non-kosher food? Here, since it's refuah, it's not considered apparently hotzah, and therefore, and there's no problem of darkei mori, not like chachamim, we pass on like a mayor, that there's no problem of following a practice that that the doctors, even the non-Jewish, of the Avodah Zarah doctors tell us, because we're doing it l'shem refuah, and it's not a problem darkei mori. The Rambam there, Pesach Mishnayis, emphasizes this. It's Malachik Rav Yosef, the Fisha Akhala, it's Leinu, Kol Sheyesh Bo Mishum Refua, Ein Bo Mishum Darkei Amori. Lo Olof Amar HaKosov, Lo Selchum Chukos Agoy. When the Torah says, don't go after Chukos Akum, it's not referring to things you do, Mishum Refua. The problem is that the Rambam himself, in the Mor Nevuchim, has a different take. We sometimes have series between the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, and the Rambam elsewhere. That shouldn't surprise us so much, but as we'll see soon, the Rambam in Yad HaKazaka seems to also have a different take. So the Mor Nevuchim, Paraklam Zayin, the Rambam there discusses the importance of not following Chukos Akum, and he points out that a person who follows, these skulos, he's a violation of Chukos Akum. V'hem asher yichru darchei amori, v'hem shehem sifei masak shafim, v'mechashvim, shehem dvarim lo yizrum heke shetivi, if it's not logical, you can't follow it. Person follows these things, so eventually they'll believe in the foundations of these beliefs, which is all connected to Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says it's, if there's refuah involved, it's not, there's no problems with Achemori. He thinks, the Rambam understands, that when the Gemara says that kol sheyesh bo mishum refuah, that means there's a logical explanation for why this is considered a remedy, some type of refuah, and therefore there's no mishum darchei amori. Then he says, v'al yakshe alecha masher hitiru behem masmer hatzolu v'shein hashul. The Mishnah says you can walk outside, Rabbi Yossi, with a shein shual, wearing a necklace with a tooth of a fox. So the Rambam, they really believed, based on their evidence, that it works. So if there's some, you know, evidence that it works, even if we don't understand it, so then it'll be okay. If they should refuah, if no, I mean, shilshua simanim hanshalshul in the hella biyatcha elam iflos manvari zeh. The shomim kiel bias chen hengel rosh hazaram seems to indicate in vuchim that which with the Gemara says that kol sheishu mishum refuah in mishum darkei mori doesn't mean you can do anything. It just means that things that based on the nesayon have, you know, some type of rayas that it works. So it was done three times, or again, it's hard to know exactly how to pin this down, but if there's some type of evidence, even if it's not like a double blind study, but if there are enough people have done it, and people vouch that it works, so therefore it's not considered Dachei Amori. But the Rambam wouldn't allow things that have no, you know, evidence at all. And the Rambam in the Chazaka here also seems to indicate that this refuah of wearing a necklace with a beitzas chargol or a mas me'atzaluv or a sheina shual was something that the doctors recommended, and they saw results based on, you know, even though, again, they couldn't, we can't understand it. And I'm also Shabbos perikutes lachil gimel beitzas chargol v'sheina shual mas me'atzaluv kol davar shetalin u'mishum refuah v'hu sheyomru harofrim shuhu mo'er. The doctors have to say it works. So again, part of the question is, who's a doctor? You know, is a doctor somebody who went to medical school for 7 years, or a person who went to China and studied Chinese medicine for a year, or for 6 months, so he studied something. It's not accepted by, you know, Western medicine. But who said Western medicine is the only legitimate medicine? So again, the Western medicine thinks that, listen, if you can't prove it based on a study, so then it's not necessarily legit. But you could argue that anybody who studied medicine, even if it's a different type of medicine, it's also medicine. So that's an important question. But at the very least, Ram is telling us that if it's not something that Rofim, some professional, thinks, you know, works, then you shouldn't be involved in it at all. Not only if you're in violation of Isser, for example, like eating a chatzar kaved of the dog that's rabid, but even if it's something that you do in the weekdays and there's no ways involved, it's just inappropriate to be involved in things that are illogical. And the Rambam Moreh Nevuchim that I read a minute ago is very clear about that, that doing illogical things is Mishum Darkei Amori already. Kol ma she'nis'amid nisyono be'elu, af mishal yizgura hekesh u'muter. You need nis'amid nisyono. Again, that's also a fuzzy definition. The people who are suggesting and offering these services claim that they've seen results. So the question is, you know, it could be they're all, you know, not telling the truth, but it could be they do see results. And again, part of the issue is, you know, there's a psychological factor, the placebo effect, which is, you know, effective. People, their studies, people who have certain types of illnesses, it doesn't help for everything. You know, it probably won't help for cancer, but there are people who have, you know, migraines and they take, you know, sugar pills and they feel great. And they're violent. So if it's something like it's a psychological illness or something that's connected to psychology, again, the line between the psychological state and the physical state is obviously, you know, connected. It's blurred because sometimes a person's in a psychological stressful state and that'll have physical ramifications. So the placebo effect can be very helpful in that regard. So it's a complicated issue exactly how to play it out, but the bottom line is that from the Rambam, it seems like you're not supposed to be involved in refuah skulis unless doctors, whoever that means, say that they see results, whatever that means. The Rashba and some of the other Sfaradi Rishonim have a much more accepting approach to refuah skulis. So, for example, the Rashi and Shuva in Chelek Aleph Siman Taf Yud Gimel says that you're allowed to be involved in refuah skulis. Mishi sigo choli eno somech anes lishol rov from the south of Yivarim Amoyelim. Bein Yivarim Tivin. Bein Yivarim Skulos. You're allowed. You're obligated to be involved in refuah tivi or refuah skuli. Who amru yirafi yirape, amru mikansh nidin rishus lorof lorapos, amru nidin rishus lomar she'im zehefech ma she'isira torah ma'as shkacha. We get this next to call dark air fuas. Everything is included. Afilu mashamoa b'skula min eskulos. Bein v'atzamim, bein v'diburim. V'ze derach kameim. Bein kameya shal ksav, bein shal kameya shal yikarim. So the Rashba seems to include all types of skulos as being legitimate forms of Rishus L'Rofa L'Rapa. That's what's included in the source we began with, the Rishus L'Rofa L'Rapa. So anything that might work. And the Rashba is another shuv in Chelek Aleph Simon Tav Tav Chav Hey, where he speaks about, here we're getting involved in potentially Surim. You wanted to make a picture of a lion and put it, you know, on your body, and the question of, is that a tzura that's legitimate to make? Some say this works. We ask if a shah yidua, upilpul was a harbe, etc. So some people are choshe, that it's a problem, darkei emori. Maybe this is darkei emori. Again, Rambam probably would say this. There's no logical reason why this should work, and there's no nisayon. So it should be aser. So the Rashba writes, maybe should darkei emori. He says, I am at the martyr, shakol she yesh, mishu refuah, via dua la rofi, mishu kain, aim mishu darkei emori. The yosim, he says, shakol shul nesa, vikmara osami minuyim. So the Rashba says that it could be anything that's not mentioned in the Gemara, a couple of examples, but anything not mentioned in the Gemara is really not Darkei Amori. So it's more like the Rashba, there's no issue at all, unless it's one of the things mentioned in the Gemara. So says, who said the doctors know everything? Maybe the doctors know Teva, and the Bali Skulos know Skulos. Commercially, Karin, the Kedira, Sa'evin, Heiruka, Nikres, Ema topsi v'gam v'asavim v'gam v'lechashim shitiru chachamim v'sh'amru v'sham v'komos leimar hachi v'leimar hachi. The Gemara has examples where you, something happens, you say this. You say some type of phrase and that's going to cure you. So that's not worse than what the doctors are saying, what these doctors, what these alternative medical practitioners are saying. V'elecha rakak v'nateva v'locha shaviri b'riri v'af al pi kein hitiru chachamim. Chachamim say you can say this phrase, shaviri b'riri, to cure yourself. So l'chara, there's no limitation on what's considered legitimate in terms of trying to cure yourself. You can have conventional medicine and alternative medicine. Even if it's an odd-off chance it's going to work, still, except for those particular examples brought in the Gemara that are asim shum darchei hamori. And the Rashbam, another tshuva, Chelek Dalet Simin Rashbam Hey, even quotes Rishonim who say that you're allowed to bechal Shabbos for such things. Again, one question is, can you be involved in such things? The Rambam seems to be limiting the heter of being involved. You need, even if it's not, we don't understand it, at least it should have some type of experience that proves it works. Rashbam says you don't need any experience, and you don't need any logic. And you can even do Isurim. You can Michal Shabbos to write a Kameya, says the Rashba, B'shem Rabaron. Yachal Adam Latzis B'Kameya B'Shabbos B'Mitzabar B'Nizra. Echad Chol Shish B'Sakana, Echad Chol Shem B'Sakana. Kach Shamati B'Varon. V'od Amar Shekosvin Kol Kameya Afilu B'Shabbos. Person wants him to write a Kameya, an amulet on Shabbos, L'Chol Shish B'Sakana, L'Yoledes, Heichad Inu Tavi Litzu of Datayu. It's going to make them feel better. Again, so here part of the issue is, you know, it's a psychological benefit of having the chola feel that you're helping him, is that maybe a heter. Let's say the chola didn't know about it. The chola is, comatose. You want to write it. Maybe even that would be according to this. Again, it's not explicit. The later Achron discussed this at length. I mentioned that the Ramon in Yoredeh Kuftun Hey Gimel says you're allowed to be involved in refuah skulis, but only if no isurim are involved. I mean, you can't eat non-kosher food for that. For conventional medicine, you can eat non-kosher food if it's a situation of safek sakana. For alternative medicine, so if there's no isur involved, you're allowed. But to do an isur, that's not allowed. It says the Rama, v'chol chola shemachin os isur, tzukim she refuah yadua, or alpi mumcha. It has to be a refuah yadua, or it has to be alpi mumcha. Again, what a mumcha is a question. But let's assume a mumcha is a person who went to medical school. Although you can argue that point. But at least that's what Yerfu Yadu. The Prima Gadim in Hilchos Shabbos, in Shin Chav Ches, wonders why you really need that. Safik koch nefesh lahakil. And therefore, if it's a safik, maybe it'll help. But the Rama didn't assume that way, the halacha. But, like I said, some of the later Sephardi Achronim are very into this, the Tshuva of Ravadia, Omer Chelches, or Achaim Lamed Tes, where he writes, quoting earlier Sephardi Achronim, in Yerfuah, she begather skula, kagon ksivas kameh b'shavis, malkam b'sakana, b'zman ba'ol, im itamachi gavra al yedei nisayon shal kama p'amim, if this person has said, he did it a few times and it worked, v'hoel v'atzalas Yisrael, yishlismach, shahoel v'atzalas Yisrael, again, for the Rama would be Aser. Mishum the Shehu Derech School of Bilvah. The Imus really the Hakel Mokum Pikon Nefer Safik, Pikon Nefer, the Hakel, Rabino Peretz Azamaisa, the Kostav Kamea, the Shabbos, the Yashavis Alamashmer, Rabino Peretz wrote a Kamea for a woman who was giving birth. The Kaimelan Mesera, the Chin Samchu, Alzeh Neres Hamaz Mizrahim. Veshut Admas Hakodesh, Veshut Pri Aretz, two brothers, the Admas Kodesh and the Pri Aretz, both were mayor. Made Shehidu Shekach Horu Rabane Saloniki. That was the minag in Greece. The Halacha Rovachas Sofik Nefashas Lahakel. Vankam Shevshul Hamtin Vadesh Ein Lahakel. So according to the Ravadia, B'makom Sofik. The Safik Nefashas, you really are able to be Mekel. And he's willing to go against the Rambam, go against the Rama essentially, who answers a Rafuash any Yadua in Vemakom Iser. So the truth is that the world of conventional, alternative medicine is very, very broad. And you have to really be Chalik, as many have noted, between different types of alternative medicine. So, a couple of years ago, there was a big, thick book written by a person from Lakewood about this issue. He's himself also a medical practitioner. The name of the book, if I'm not mistaken, is Ani Hashem Rofecha. And in it, he tries to connect a lot of the alternative medical practices to things mentioned in the Gemara, which is very questionable. And he got a lot of Ramas, and then a lot of the Rabbanim took away the Haskamas. These are people who are against vaccines, against a lot of the conventional. They're not just into having alternative medicine, they're against conventional medicine, which is a somewhat or very frightening, frankly. People, have cancer and they don't go to a doctor. They're going to just take these, herbs and the like. And so the question of where to place alternative medicine is a question, at least from my perspective, in addition to conventional medicine, is there room for alternative medicine? What you call it in Israel, so there's a term, refuah mashlima. So it's supplementary, it's not alternative, it's supplementary medicine. And it's very accepted, in hospitals where they have alternative practitioners going around supplementing the conventional medicine. And they have a lot of positive results. Again, like I said, even if a conventional practitioner might say it's all the placebo effect, it still works. So if you have patients who are complaining of sorts of backaches and headaches, and you send the person with a backache to a chiropractor, in the end of the day, it feels better. It's hard to argue with the facts. And if the person's having headaches as a side result of some medication, and the person is going for treatments, and they're putting needles into them or whatever, and they say their headaches are gone, so it's hard to, argue with the results. The frightening thing, from my perspective, is when the alternative practitioners aren't functioning in tandem with the conventional practitioners, but they're kind of superseding them and saying it's all about this, especially when you try to link it to Chazals, where it's pretty very clear that we have no idea what the Fuas mentioned in the Gemara. The Gaonim already write explicitly we shouldn't follow the Fuas to sound link the contemporary alternative practice to what's mentioned in the Gemara is very problematic. And Rubelsky wrote had a number of essays and shichot about this issue, and his Talmidim wrote up a sefer where he basically tries to answer everything. And like usual, I think the answer might be somewhere in the middle. Rafalski really goes to town in an extreme way, tries to say all this stuff is Narishkeit and Usser. It could be some of it's Narishkeit. What's Usser isn't so clear. It's hard to Usser. A lot of these things might not be Usser per se, meaning, again, you look at a Teshuva here, source number 18, Mishnah Lachos, Rav Menashe Klein. He actually has a letter that was sent to him from Rav Moshe Tendler. Kibalti Mikhtavo, Chelik Yud Simon Kuf Yud Beis, Kibalti Mikhtavo Mitziruf Mikhtav Mi'ez Rav Moshe Tendler. Again, somebody wrote to him with a letter from Rav Tendler. So that's the last Rafuas Rafuas Homopatiot. V'atam sh'rafuas elu lo nitnu leichashev k'rafua beduka u'menusa. Shefshel Hashem l'shav Hashem b'li she'yev nigu ratzon Hashem. So Rav Tendler argued that these homeopathic medicines are somehow, you know, linked to hakasha in Ma'aseh Bereishis, hakasha in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Shita refuas sheminagda hasvara sachatanit haratzionalit. You have a medical approach that is irrational. And maybe the emunos hevel, it brings a person to believe in irrational thoughts. Umisakenet et hamerapimba hashpa puchanit zarid. It causes the person to be involved in this type of refua, to be involved potentially in the Vodazara. Machasha Seder Olam Shesider Hashem Yisparach Ad Kanush. Lefinas Daiti says, Menashe Klein, like Vandi Kavanasa. I don't understand where Sandler is against. Again, Sandler is coming from the Rambam. The Rambam says you have to have, has to be logical. If it's not logical, at least it has to be proven to work, you know, effectively again and again. But if you take a little bit of poison and you put it in water, and you dilute it in 10,000 and you drink the poison, and it's going to cure you? That doesn't make any sense. And we don't have any evidence in terms of people doing this again and again that it works. Okay, one story, one person, but that one that's not enough. This idea, Levanti Kavanaso, says Rav Moshe Klein, the Hare Hani Rafua, the other Rafua, to Vios, and these are natural. In Asim, Mine Asavim, Shoni, Hare, Kol Trufa Rafua, Sharuban, Bai, Mine Asavim. Right? The Rafua in time of Chazal was natural, and that's why they got Aser to toche, you know, taking the full on Shabbos, because you might come to be toche to make the pills. Why isn't this sickness? Maybe the Munas Hevel, the fact that it's going to bring you towards believing in all sorts of idolatry, you know, if you mute a T B'Sifrei Amad, so the National Client admits that he has very little knowledge in, medicine. Asher Baruch Hashem Ein Lichelik Behem, so he's actually happy about the fact that he has no knowledge. Well, Lamadi B'Chochmas Chitonios, Avam Mikol Kom Hevili Talmid Yeshivatenu Sefer Midoktor Echad Shelahem V'Her Ali Sha'Adra V'Kosav Sham Shein Yira Adam She'Ein Atufa Moyila Yelach Rafa Achir. So this alternative doctor who wrote, a medical handbook says that you should try this, and if these herbs don't work, so try something else. He's not telling you, you know, that this is it. Well, Eish Tikva Rak Mitchila Yaskil V'Refuas Elu. He's not telling you that taking these alternative practices, you also have to believe in, you know, Avodah Zarah or anything like. He's just telling you that he thinks these work as good medical, this is good medical advice, even though the conventional practitioners don't recommend this. He doesn't understand what it means. You know, you don't have to go to medical school to be a doctor. That's his claim. Everything is for Hashem. So Hashem can cure you through a conventional medicine, or Hashem can cure you through alternative medicine. If you know that this comes from Rosara, maybe you should be usually shakos, which is interesting because, you know, if where something comes from, is that necessarily a problem? So, for example, in this work that was put together by the students of Rafalski, it says that you shouldn't practice yoga because yoga is connected to idolatry. Now, today, yoga is essentially a form of exercise. Many people, enjoy yoga in terms of relaxation and meditation, and it's not necessarily you know, even though the fact that it once was connected to Avodah Zarah, you know, if a person does a sun salutation now, they're not, you know, bowing down to the sun. They're just moving their body and breathing in a certain way, and they find that relaxing and healthy. So to say it's usher is interesting. Belsky assumes it's usher. Even the Mishnah Halachas here seems to be, he writes, Vada im yizbar sheyesh b'zeh ezen egiyah shal munah zarah chas v'shalom az usher l'shabos mehem. I'm not so sure if everybody holds that way. I think that, you know, many people think that yoga is yoga. It's true, once it came from Avodah Zarah. But now you're not going to a place where they're continuously believing this. Again, it would probably be a problem to go to a yoga studio where they were, you know, actually practicing yoga like they once did. Now yoga is a form of exercise. So l'chara, it's not connected anymore to the source. But it seems to be a debate. Like I said, there are many, many different types of alternative medicine, and you really have to be mechalek between them. For example, if a doctor, or alternative practitioner would tell you to eat a certain healthy food, so it's pashut that it's good to eat healthy, you know. Let's say he tells you you only eat foods that start with H and E, like the letters healthy. And don't like to eat any foods that are, you know, sick, S-I-C-K. So don't eat sugar and don't eat ice, you know, etc. So that wouldn't make, you know, very much sense. So a person would follow that. Is there an Isser? Is there an Isser between Darkei Amori? Again, the Rashba thinks Darkei Amori is limited to the things mentioned in the Gemara. So according to Rashi, it wouldn't be. For the Rambam in the Morin Nevuchim, if this really doesn't make any sense at all, and there's no, you know, evidence based on people's experience that this works, you know, hard to, again, if you're not doing something, it's hard to know it's really us because you're just not eating. Let's say you tell you, eat the foods that spell healthy. Eat, you know, things that start with H, you know, eat foods that start with these letters and not those letters. Maybe that would be problematic according to the Rambam. I think Rav Tendler would assume that would be problematic. But some of the alternative medicine is not connected to what you eat, but it's connected to certain types of, you know, strange medicines, like you saw here in terms of, you know, taking a little bit of poison and putting it in water and diluting it. So again, for the Rambam, for Rav Tendler, that would be usher. The Mishnah Halacha says there's no problem with that. You're taking medicine. This medicine is basically water. Okay, but it's medicine. Like I said, the placebo effect, you know, is also, you know, something to take into consideration, that sometimes it actually helps. It's hard to say it's really usher. But then there are other types of alternative, you know, medicine that, again, things that are connected to your body, like acupuncture and chiropractors and things like that. Again, it's very hard to say it's usher because the Maisa, people have results and it seems to work. There are things like FDA that are connected to psychology and tapping, and people do these things. You know, whether or not they help is an open question. The conventional medical world thinks a lot of these things don't help. But like I said, certainly in Israel, they're much more open to these things. And they call it Refuah Mashlima. It's not alternativi, it's Mashlima, it's a supplementary medicine. And if a person's not, you know, walking away from regular conventional medicine, you're just adding these things, it's hard to say it's answer. There is, you know, some more sticky elements, you know, in the alternative world. That's like, you know, moach echad, one brain, and kinesiology, where people are, you know, come to somebody and said, oh, you once had an experience, and this experience somehow, you know, is causing, you know, you to freeze up, and you know, if we go back to that, we'll cure that experience, and then you won't have this allergy. So a person says he had an allergy to oranges, and he remembers as a child, once he was embarrassed when he was eating an orange, and they go back, and they somehow you know, solve that, and then the allergy goes away. There's a lot of discussion about this in the Poskim, in Tchumen, volume 30. There's some articles about this, and say that this should be a problem of kishuf, and others say mapitam, you're not trying to, you know, speak about anything in the future, we're not magid tidos. Part of the issue with these things is that we don't really understand when the Torah answers, you know, the ovni, yoni, and all these things, we don't really know what they are. And we have here and there some explanations in the Mishonim, but it's a little hard to understand, and therefore it's hard to know if these are somehow included in those Isurim that are mentioned in the Torah. And there are also some practitioners who speak about these, like these aura and chi and these kochos that exist. And some people say, listen, Akash Baruch Hu created them. You can use them, and it's not a problem. Even though, of course, medically, you know, scientifically, we have no proof that these things exist. Others will say, no, kokos, they're kokos, they're talking about kokos, it's like a vodazara, you're saying other things exist besides for Akash Baruch Hu. And then, again, a Frum practitioner, this is actually a big business in the Haredi world here in Eretz Yisrael, where people go for all sorts of, treatments. And the Haredi practitioner will say, well, Hashem created the world this way, this is how He created it, and I can harness these kochos that Hashem made to heal this individual. And then there are people like Rebelsky who say, no, the belief in these kochos itself is a form of Avodah Zarah. Even if you don't worship them, if you think they exist, that itself is Avodah Zarah. It's interesting because there's a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban when it comes to Tam Tiyah. There's a Mitzvah Tam Tiyah. So what does that mean? So the Rambam says, believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and know everything else is Narishkeit. The Ramban says, no, there are kochos. There are other kochos. But Tam Tiyah means you shouldn't try to find out the future based on those kochos. But they do exist. The Rambam thinks the kochos don't exist. He thinks it's Narishkeit. I don't know if he thinks it's a Vodazara, if you think they exist necessarily, but I'm not sure. Anyway, this is a very, very broad topic. And when we speak about alternative medicine, just to summarize, it seems like you have to ask yourself what the practitioner is suggesting. If it's something that, you know, it seems logical, you know, to eat healthy food, so it's hard to argue with that. If it's something that, even if it's not so logical, but it looks like you're taking medicine, so then there too, many poskim will tell you that, look, you're taking medicine. It's no worse than taking a sugar pill. Either it's a sugar pill or it really is medicine. The fact that the scientists don't know why it helps or think it doesn't help, okay, that's their opinion, but it's hard to say it's usher. Again, Stanley probably would say it's usher, but he would. But there are many poskim who say it's mutter. Likewise, things like a chiropractor and those things, it's very hard to say they're usher. What's more complicated is these other, you know, things that are connected to Ruchnius powers and kochos. And the question really is one of how to define the psukim that discuss various isurim of Ovin, Idoni, etc. And how to apply it, then we don't really know. So there are some poskim who are choshesh, this is included, and this is usher. Other poskim say that it's not. I should mention, though, that it's important that people be aware that, unfortunately, there are practitioners who try to take advantage of people who are in dire situations. And there are people, like I said before, the situation in Iran, people have the coronavirus, and there are people going paying money to doctors, quote-unquote, who are killing them just because they're stuck. And they don't really know how to, the conventional medicine has no real, at this point, mana for them. So you have to make sure not to be taken advantage of. People look at your eye and they tell you based on your eye all your illnesses, and they'll give you something to smell, and they, touch this stone, touch that stone. You have to be very careful that people aren't taking advantage of you. But if a person, is aware and still wants to, feels that these things are helpful, it's hard to say they're usher unless they're connected to some type of ruchnius issue. And then there too is debate if you're just harnessing these kolchos or the fact that you're acknowledging them is already a form of vodazara, which seems to be a bit of a chiddush. Although, like I said, Rebelsky assumes that way, as do a couple of other poskim. Okay. Seder.